Hello, Internet.
It's Tori. You're listening to the Cosmere Deep Dive Podcast. To join the discussion, visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/CosmereCast, where you'll find an invitation to our Discord server. Thank you for listening, and please enjoy the show.
Hello, and welcome to the Cosmere Deep Dive Podcast. I'm your host, Mike. Joining me this week are Craig, Dave, and Tori, because I want to do this again.
No.
See how this works?
I don't want to do
this. You shouldn't have threw out your recording from before.
Hello, no, Internet.
You shouldn't have thrown... Yeah.
You're editing this episode, and you're editing last one.
I'll save my joke for next week, then.
I mean, you guys could just, like, wait and let each other do your introductions, like, in the normal order.
Yeah.
No, let's pick up your slack.
I did mine.
Hello.
Anyway. Now that we've gotten introductions out of the way, because that's Internet. What that was, we do good things. And Craig, you're first.
All right. I think my good thing this week will be a location that we went to on Saturday with some family and some friends. It's I don't think I'll reveal the. So there's this farm called Cherrycrest Farm, or it's like Cherrycrest Adventures. Giant farm. So many activities for kids, though. It is great.
Oh,
they had like a giant bouncy pad set up. They had pig races. They have apple blasters, which are just these air pressured guns that you put apples in and it shoots them. I don't know. There's so much corn maze. It has a giant and well done corn maze. I don't know if you guys have done corn mazes around the fall season, but this one is nice because they don't give you a map. You are expected to find locations within the maze that give you portions of the map for where it is. So it gives you little sections. There's 15 different sections of the map. So you have to go and find them. It's nice. So it has that exploration aspect. You don't have to do that. There is a short, easy path that you could do to get through the corn maze. Say, hey, I did it. But that's boring.
If you want the bad ending.
Yeah, we want the good. You want the 100%. Although we haven't 100%ed since my daughter has been with us. Since, you know, they get bored after a while. She's not quite there yet. But they have giant hay things that you can climb on for the kids. So many activities. It is great. If you happen to live in, I guess, the southeastern PA region, check it out. Highly recommended.
And you said it's only for kids.
We've been going there since before my daughter was born to do the corn maze. That itself is worth it. But there's a lot of activities for kids. There's like a petting farm. You can also feed the goats and feed the cows that they have there, that sort of thing. You know, it's a lot of different activities and things. But in terms of for what adults should do, they're probably going to come just to do the corn maze. But it is a really good corn maze.
I recently went to a fair, and they let me on the bouncy house obstacle course.
Mm, yeah. I don't think that...
I said, what's the weight limit on this thing?
Yeah, it's 225 pounds. I actually know what the weight limit is, because I checked
it
out.
Wait, really? Well, so. Good thing they didn't know that.
No, well, just at this location.
And that was the story of how Dave tackled 37 small children into dust.
Anyway, Cherrycrest Adventures. Check it out.
Neat. All right, Dave, tell us more about that time when you murdered a lot of small children in a bouncy house.
I got a better idea. Instead of doing a good thing this week, I got a good Dave. So I bought a new game that was on sale. It's new for me. It's actually pretty new. It's called Dave the Diver. They made a video game about me, you guys. This dude's literally me. It's a fat guy with a beard that likes swimming and waits tables. What else do you need to know?
I actually heard good things about this game.
It's overwhelmingly positive on Steam. And the graphics are like kind of pixelated, but also like not 8-bit or 6-bit. Like they're kind of pixelated in an artistic way. And the cutscenes are really detailed and amazing. And I guess think like it's Subnautica, but it's 2D pixely. It's a roguelike and you run a sushi bar at night.
I haven't played it, but I will say the fan art is adorable.
I have played it, and I like the daytime swimming exploration part a lot more than the nighttime run a sushi bar part.
Yeah,
but it's fun.
I agree, but the more upgrades you get, the more time you get to spend diving because you get more carrying capacity, you get a bigger oxygen tank, and get upgrades. So it's like the more you get into it, the more you're actually doing the diver part. Also, there's a U2's Dave the Diver plushie that I'm really tempted to get. But yeah, it's just me. They made a video game about me, guys.
Let me actually open up Steam. I'm curious to see what it currently costs. $14 on Steam currently. Deluxe edition is $18.25.
It's currently on sale, 30% off, which is why I bought it at the time this week.
Yay. All right, anything else about Dave the Diver? Dave the podcaster?
Dave the Barbarian Diver.
What if, like, he later on, it's like, but on the weekends he does a literature podcast? Then I'd be a little suspicious.
Like, wait a minute, they know me.
All right, well, I think it's time for my good thing. And my good thing this week is actually several things, because there's a bunch going on. Right now, on twitch.tv/evil uno, is Mystery Wrestling 11. I've talked about these before here, I'm sure. Mystery Wrestling, the gimmick is that the card for the matches is not announced ahead of time. You can watch them for free live as they happen, or you can watch the VODs by becoming a patron of Evil Uno. And you can listen to us live by becoming a patron of the Cosmere Deep Dive podcast at patreon.com/CosmereCast. The other thing I want to talk about is Mortal Kombat. So I'm pretty sure I've talked about the Mortal Kombat games, the most recent ones, 9 through 12, which is actually 1. The story of these games is phenomenal. And I pretty semi-regularly like go on YouTube and just watch through the cutscenes of these games, and they are great. They are by far the best Mortal Kombat movies.
Why haven't they ever made a Mortal Kombat movie?
Oh, they have. They're just bad. The first one is actually pretty decent because it's a remake of Enter the Dragon with Mortal Kombat characters, which is exactly the direction they should have gone with this. And in fact, it is beloved to the point that the character of Kano, who was played by an Australian in the movie, was not canonically Australian until after the movie came out, and then every version of him since, Australian.
Nice.
I always thought Kung Lao was Australian because he's got like the Crocodile Dundee hat.
Kung Lao, the razor hat guy?
Yeah.
That's a Crocodile Dundee hat?
Mm-hmm.
That's not a hat. This is a hat.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah. So anyway, all this to say, Mortal Kombat 11 is on sale right now for a pretty good price. You can get the base game for $5 right now, or you can get Ultimate Edition for $9, or you can get Ultimate Edition and Injustice 2, which is the DC fighting game that's made by the Mortal Kombat people, total for $10.
Midway? I played the first Injustice. That was pretty good. So is there like a story mode in Mortal Kombat 11?
There absolutely is. Like I just said, the stories for 9, 10, 11, and 12, which is actually 1, are extremely good, and they follow like there is a specific plot line starting in 9 that continues through the end of 1 that like the events of all of these games lead directly into the next one. And the cutscenes are phenomenal, and yeah, just really, really enjoying it. I don't want to like go into too much because I don't want to spoil it for you if you haven't, you know, at least watch through these yourself. But yeah, good stuff.
Neat.
Yeah, neat indeed. And Tori, does your good thing have anything to do with what you just posted?
Yes,
in our
I just hashtag posted good it in our good things channel.
On our Discord that you can get the link to by going to patreon.com/CosmereCast. And you don't have to give us money, but you should.
Yep. So if you want to see the link to this spooky lo-fi radio station I found on YouTube, you should totally go to patreon.com/CosmereCast so that you can get a link to the Discord server. But okay, what happened was, I think I told you guys during the recording last week, and if it wasn't during the recording, I'm sorry, listeners, but this weekend I had an Uzumaki watch party for my creepy and disturbed friends who would enjoy something like that. And I served all spiral-shaped foods on theme. So I had a pasta salad with corkscrew pasta, and I did homemade pizza rolls where I actually like rolled up the pizza and then sliced it into little discs. And I went to a fancy bakery and I got cinnamon rolls because I didn't have time to make them myself. But when I stopped to pick up the cinnamon rolls, the TV in the bakery had this spooky lo-fi station playing, and the song that came on while I was in there was Gravity Falls theme, but lo-fi, and it was so good. I was like, hey, that's Gravity Falls, and so I made a mental note of it, and when I got home, while I was getting ready for the party, I loaded up that list, and I had it just playing all day long, and it was playing when the party started and people showed up, and yeah, been listening to it all day, and it's just cool background music, and but also spooky time season. So if you're into cool background music and also spooky season, then check it out. It's called Spooky Lo-Fi on the station Homework Radio, and there is a link in the Good Things channel.
Neato burrito.
And the party was a raging success, you guys. I had so much fun.
I saw your pictures.
Yeah.
It looked really cool. I'm glad everybody had fun.
And also, there was a good 30 minutes before people were like, wait a minute, the food is spiral shaped. And I was like, oh, I'm so glad you noticed.
Did anyone get too spook-em-upped?
Well, so of the people there, only one person was not A, familiar with Junji Ito, or B, a horror fan. So, our friend Ryan was there, and Ryan was patient zero for Junji Ito. He's the person who introduced me to it. He's read them all. He is, in fact, a college professor who assigns Junji Ito readings in his classes because he's mean. So that was fun. And then my friend Jesse, who around the time I read Uzumaki for the first time, I was like, okay, you have to read this so we can suffer together. And he was like, why would you do that to me? Now I have to read everything he's written. So they were there. But my friend V, and her husband is one of our listeners. Say hi to Perg, who's one of our regulars on Discord.
Hi, Perg.
V.
Why didn't everybody else say hi, Perg?
V does not do horror and was not familiar with the show. And she was like, listen, halfway through this viewing, I will try to climb inside of another person to get away from the scary thing. And I was like, that's fair. I'm a sit over there while you sit over here. So, but no, she actually made it. Every time she was getting too scared, somebody would make a joke about how absurd the show was, because people are dying in all kinds of weird and crazy ways in this show. And some of them, it's like, oh my gosh, that's horrifying. And others, it's like, okay, that's just ridiculous now. So somebody would joke about that, and then she would be okay for another 5 or 10 minutes.
I mean, group watches are the ideal way to watch bad horror.
You know, sure. We had a whole conversation about bad horror movies, because Ryan is kind of a horror expert. He does the whole 31 days of Halloween thing, where he watches a new to him horror movie every day in the month of October. And he's been doing this for years. And I'm like, there can't be that many horror movies, but he keeps finding new
there
ones.
Are.
And so we had a whole conversation about bad horror, and I was telling them about my favorite bad horror movie, which is Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus. Like, I own that on DVD, and he was like, I don't watch bad horror movies that are bad on purpose. And I was like, but it's got a giant octopus in it. He wasn't buying it. So anyway, probably won't get him to a watch
party.
You didn't
have to buy it. You own it. He could have borrowed it.
There's also a sequel, Mega Shark versus Crocosaurus, but I didn't like it as much because there wasn't a giant octopus in it.
I mean, of course. All right. That sounds like we're all out of good stuff. So why don't we do some bad stuff and go over the chapters today?
Boo.
Wait, that's not bad. Are you not enjoying it, Mike?
Well, we'll go through.
No, it's
through
actually really good.
We'll go through and figure out what bad thing happened this week.
This isn't White Sand.
I mean, they've already, melted Nomad's, body off. So what else could happen?
You just reminded me of one of my friends who, every time we get together, she's like, let me tell you everything bad that's happened since the last time I saw you.
You need to introduce her to good things.
I would like to say Sunlit Man would have been an okay name for White Sand.
Ooh.
Like, as an alternate name.
Yeah, okay. I could see that.
Okay, let's start on chapter 36 of the book that we titled Mentions Dropped by Brandon Sanderson. Chapter 36. Zeal is being suspiciously unsuspicious. Some glowy eyes are chasing us. Nomad wanna fight but can't. Wealth, who joins us in our Discord server today, is about making others do the work you don't want to do. Who wants some money to clean my apartment? Of course, Nomad just needs that Thalen Sunheart. Nomad pinches a dude, but he still has no bews and is mostly burnt, right? Oh, before, I had a question that I'll ask in a little bit. All right, and that's chapter 36.
Okay, so if we recall the end of last week's chapters, Nomad broke into a ship, stole some energy doodads, and then the door he couldn't unlock from the inside opens up from the outside, and there's Zeal. And we all headcanoned
that we cut to commercial.
if this were a TV show, this would have been, you know, Zeal shows up and points a gun at him and we cut to commercial. Or if it were the end of an episode, he would fire. Or if it were the end of a season, he would fire and hit Nomad, and then we'd find out exactly what happened. But none of that happened. He's just like, hey, I thought you were dead, and I was coming in to steal some stuff. So you already did it? Awesome, let's go. And no drama ensued. But they do get chased, and Nomad's like, hey, I see the Cider King coming, and he wants to talk to me, and you should run. And so Zeal runs, and Nomad talks, and Cider King is like, hey, I want to fight you. And Nomad's like, hey, let's talk instead because you're an evil villain and you got a monologue. And monologue, indeed, he does.
Oh, man. Well put.
Talks about, you know, the point of power is to make people do things for you. Like the point of wealth is to pay people to do stuff, to do the work you don't want to do.
If you want to clean my apartment, I've done it before. Not cleaned my apartment. I've paid someone to clean my apartment.
Like, he's not wrong about that. And yeah. But Nomad's like, cool. Oh, hey, wait. You just said that you turned the person from my planet into a Sunheart. And the problem with all of this stuff, the problem with me putting energy into a Sunheart is I haven't had a bond with it. I bet I have a bond with this. All right, bye. And he just zooms right past him, breaks into the Cider King ship.
Connected to it.
Indeed. Breaks into the Cider King ship, steals the Sunheart, and he's like, hey, I'm putting some energy into you. You okay with that? And the Sunheart's like, yeah, dude. And then he does. And then he isn't quite as tormented and is able to actually fight back. And we start the next chapter.
I'm sad that I didn't think of this.
Do we get to find out what it is you're sad that you didn't think about?
I didn't think about the fact that Nomad would have a connection to this one Sunheart.
Oh, okay.
Like earlier or just now?
I forgot it existed.
I didn't think of it, but then when I read about it, I was like, I'm sad that I didn't think of this.
Yeah, I just forgot it existed because it was more than like a week ago that I last read about it.
It was basically months ago, Mike, at this point.
Mm-hmm.
It was forever, I counted.
Nomad? It's one of those Brandon things where it's like he gave you the pieces and you could have figured it out, but I didn't.
Nomad's been on Mr. this planet Policeman. For what, like a year now? What do you guys think? How long has it been?
I mean, for us or for him?
Yes. Bless you.
Gesundheit.
Note to editor, please cut that.
You can leave my bless you in.
I won't. Chapter 37. Leaving the spearhead off worked. Just like that story I totally remember. Keep draining. It's a good thing Nomad has played literally any video game ever, so he knows where to strike the charge. Let's take off already. Chasm Kata gives advantage to intimidation checks. Nomad says the thing.
All right, so fighty time, kill, kill, kill. And then he's like, hey, we should leave. And so he does a kata he does the same kata that he saw Kaladin do that one time. In the chasms, like that first time,
I'm pretty sure that's the kata they all practice in the beginning.
Well, they eventually practice it, but the first time we saw it is Kaladin doing it by himself and then explaining afterwards, like, this is fully impractical. Like, you wouldn't swing the spear around your neck like that in a fight. That's dumb.
But it looks cool.
It does look cool.
If it were, like, a samurai movie, you would do stuff like this.
Listen.
Well, this isn't a movie, Dave. This is a book.
Future filmmakers of the Stormlight Archives, I know you're listening to our podcast. You need this scene. There is no question that Kaladin doing the kata, it needs to be in there. Don't skip it. You're going to skip other things. Don't skip this.
Anyway, he does it, and it does exactly what he wanted, which is scare off all of the stupid charred people who are bad fighters, but they're supernaturally strong, so they're actually quite good fighters, just not skilled. And then Nomad says they have
a big glowy bit. And Nomad's like, I bet if I attack the glowy bit, that's their weakness.
And it is. They are not giant enemy crabs, but they do have a glowing weak spot.
Just like on House of the Dead.
And then Nomad says the thing. And we all know what the thing he says is, so we don't have to dwell on it.
And killer clowns from outer space. Yeah, the thing was, I will protect those who make me a ham sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a windrunner, though. Did he say? Maybe he said, I am the sunlit man.
Journey before destination.
So what was this thing about the spearhead, and he left it off, and it worked, and that's from a story? Am I supposed to know what he's talking about?
He tried to form Ox into a spear, and it wouldn't form. So he was like, all right, I'll try it as just a staff, no spearhead. And that worked immediately. And he thought back to that time in the chasms, that first time where Kaladin did his, like, picked up a spear, did his kata, which was really impressive and intimidating. And then before he started actually teaching anybody, he knocked the spearhead off, so he just had a stick.
Yeah. But it happened in a different order this time.
That was from The Way of Kings by Brandon Sanderson.
Oh, man,
new dog.
So long since I've read that.
Oh, Craig, no. did you want to talk about that?
Not really.
Because we actually probably should talk about that.
So this was published before Wind and Truth. So we should actually do that before Wind and Truth, right?
Yes, we should. We'll insert it at about episode, what, like 80,
publication order?
89, 90, I don't know, whatever it is.
Okay, Craig, would you like to actually explain what's going on so people understand?
Yeah, so someone used an AI against, I guess, Brandon Sanderson's stuff and generated A Way of Kings, A New Dawn. And it is so bad.
Would you like to share some character names from it?
I don't know them off the top of my head. Is Link there? Do you have you don't happen to have the names, do you?
Real quick, handy, no.
Our live listener reminds me that the thing Nomad said was Bridge 4.
He does say Bridge 4.
Aww.
And there's even a splash page where he does the salute.
And he's real gooey looking in that splash page.
Anyway, the names as I remember seeing them are like the names from the characters of The Way of King, just like minus a letter, except Jasnah. Jasnah is still there exactly.
But it's probably pronounced Jasnah.
Yeah.
Yeah, where's the audiobook version of this?
I mean, text to voice already exists.
Could
thoroughly,
I make the audiobook version of this? Are there legal complications in me taking an AI ripoff of something?
I mean, probably, but I don't think anyone's going to fault you for it, especially if you make it like very clear that, like, listen, I don't respect the person who did this, and I'm doing this because I don't respect them.
I don't know if I respect them or not. I've never met them, and I've never read the book.
If someone's using AI to generate their own book and ripping another book off, no, there's no respect there.
I guess the fact that they actually were selling it on Amazon, I don't respect that.
Unfortunately, I can't find the Reddit post about it. It listed some of the names, which is, it was very comical.
There's,
if
like,
they were just
Calvin
doing it as
and
like AI-generated fanfic, that sounds kind of fun. I'd check that out. But like AI-generated, I published this and I'm selling it on Amazon, is pretty scuffed.
Yeah.
Like Kaldin, Dalnar.
Ladinar.
Seth.
Sigil.
Not Zeth, just Seth. Ooh. Wealth may have just given us the link. Yep, that's the one. And I don't want to go dig through the actual thing, but yeah, it's exactly as described. All right, let's keep going.
Does that me?
I think it's you, yeah.
It does me? Okay.
Unless, Tori, you want to take over bullet points?
Sure. Yeah. Where are we?
38.
Okay. They called her Elegy. Oh no, she's just going to turn into a worse cider queen, isn't she? Zeal sure knows a lot about radio jammies. Zeal put all 5 sun hearts together in a single sack. Elegy can sort of hear ox. And got a prack.
All right, so nailed next it. Chapter we get a little bit from Elegy's POV, where she thinks about how, you know, they've told her that her name is Elegy, and she actually likes the name Elegy, but she's not the same Elegy that the last person who was called Elegy was. She is a different person who is also called Elegy. And
are you telling me her name is different song?
Perhaps.
Who named these characters? Numuhuku Makiaki Aya Lunamore?
Looking likely.
Other different Numuhuku Makiaki Aya Lunamore. Yeah, and then she talks about how she just really wants to fight, still. But after seeing Nomad fight, she wants to fight like he does. And not just, yeah. Not
it's
just
like Arlo Guthrie.
Not like a bully that's just flailing about. But okay, hold on though. Dave, why would she be a worse cider queen? Everything we've seen from her so far is that she's actually trying to consider her goals, her motivations, and her actions. She knows that if she were just let go, she'd probably just want to fight. But that's a good step. That's something we haven't seen a Cider King do.
Exactly. She's competent, which would make her a more ruthless ruler.
I see.
Well, and she talks about, like, well, if I can't blah, 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 then I can be, like, a political leader or something.
Am I the only one who thought of Galadriel's scene from Lord of the Rings? Instead of a Dark Lord, you would have a queen!
It's pretty easy to be ruthless when your name is Elegy. Like, if she were Ruth, it'd be very hard.
Say, Mike, did you hear me say Arlo Guthrie?
I did hear you say Arlo Guthrie.
Nice. Do you remember when he was like, I want to kill!
Oh, yeah. I love that song. Alice's Restaurant by Arlo Guthrie. Check it out if you've never heard it. It's like 12 minutes long, and it's wonderful. Oh, and Wealth has shared an image with us in the chat of Radio Jammies. And you could see this, too, if you join our Patreon, patreon.com/CosmereCast. I will stop plugging now. All right. Zeal sure knows a lot about Radio Jammies. Yeah, he's like, Nomad gets back to the ship and he's like, hey, you should call back to the main ship. And Zeal's all like, already on it. We just had to get a little bit further away because the Cider King is jamming our radio. Just like Lone Star. He gave us the raspberry. Did we do that one already like 6 times? I think we did.
Not today, but yes.
Okay. Zeal put all the sun hearts together. And
hey, so now they made a big deal.
That because, you know, at work, whenever we're disposing of dead batteries, they make us put tape over the ends and we have to put them in a special battery bucket because if you put them in the trash can, they might catch on fire. I don't know. But sun hearts sound way worse than batteries.
But they made such a big deal about the fact that they put the sun hearts in individual different drawers on the Cider King's ship. And I was like, oh, there's probably, like, they don't want to put them all in one drawer and have them touch.
Yeah, because they don't want to put tape over the ends, I guess.
Well, these are, yeah. they're all full, though. They were just made, weren't they?
These are the same ones.
Well, no.
That they took out of the drawers.
Over time, they're going to, you know, leak a little bit of investiture, so you want to keep them separated so they're not constantly, like, sharing and using
discharging each other. Okay. But
I think if they're freshly made, it's not really much of a risk. Plus, it's only, like, an hour. What could possibly go wrong?
Absolutely nothing. That's why the book ends here. It's just happily ever after. Yeah.
Great podcast, you guys. I guess we'll have to find
we'll
some
reconvene
filler to do
in December.
So anyway, Nomad talks to Elegy, and he's about to unlock her last manacle, and she's like, you shouldn't do that. I'm going to just start a fight. And he's like, okay. And she's like, isn't it good that I at least told you that? Like, I guess. I want to learn how to fight like you. Like, well, that's difficult. She's like, I don't care. I'm going to do it. How'd you learn to fight like that? And then he goes through all the stuff that he's been through. This is actually a pretty big chapter, or possibly the next chapter, but I think it's this one. But it talks a lot about what Sigzil has been through. Or no, it's the next one. Okay. But he's just like, hey, I had to learn how to fight first I learned how to stand, then I learned how to hold the spear, and then I went through all of these steps, and I also had a really big, I've lost a word.
Shoe.
Yes.
Really big shoe.
No, I had a really big advantage of,
not that dying while training because I wasn't training mid-battle.
Yeah, that most soldiers don't have, where I could heal from terrible, terrible wounds and not die and not waste all the stuff that I had learned so far. So just start with learning how to stand, figure out how to not die, and then get back to me in a couple centuries. And Elegy's like, will do, and tried to give him a double thumbs up, but one hand was still manacled, so single thumbs up.
You can give a thumbs up while your hand's manacled.
Can't do a proper double thumbs up, because then it's just over here. That doesn't look
right. Oh, if it's manacled, yeah. Eh.
And then got a prack. So Nomad has a Link to the Past randomizer tournament coming up, so he's going to be practicing for a while.
Yeah, but then after the tournament, he's going to play Earthbound.
Unlike Craig, who had a Link to the Past thing he went to at...
Skill Life.
Yeah.
SG Life.
SG Life, thank you. That he, practiced for two streams and then was done.
And I got top 8.
He did pretty well, actually, yeah.
I practiced for two streams and got top 8. If I could just practice more, I think I would do better.
Yeah, if only.
Oh, no, let's be honest here. Jem is amazing. He's the one who actually won it all. Andy's also
won if the items you Andy's needed also were in the really spots good. You checked,
it's,
I mean.
It's scary. Andy and Jem are both top tier.
How far did Andy go?
He was top 4.
Nice.
He lost
the gem. I felt so bad for him. I felt so bad for him during the NMG runs, but I think that's less his wheelhouse these days.
Well, the thing is, he was winning, except he missed the location that Jem got, which happened to be Ice Rod or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the way random it goes. Anyway, chapter 39.
All right, before I start on chapter 39, I have a question because I forget how something worked. So did they make some point in an earlier chapter where Nomad needs Investiture to make the connection so they can communicate with people, but right. Then he still retains that connection and can still communicate with people after...
He retains existing connection that he formed with people.
It retains existing connections. What if he's at, completely zero Investiture? If he had one Bu, sure. Well, if he had zero.
He does have zero. He maintains his connection. He asked Ox about this, three chapter groupings ago.
Okay.
This isn't
episodes ago.
This isn't an active connection. It's a passive. It just gets turned on, and so now he has that line in his spirit web that connects to the planet so he can communicate.
Craig, spirit web.
Craig, this is Brandon Sanderson. This is Mormon sexless fantasy. Nobody gets turned on.
As we'll find out in this week's chapters.
I didn't even realize it said turned on, but sure.
Okay, so some of the bullet points in chapter 39 aren't going to make any sense. Because I forgot that. And some of them are going to make negative sense.
Dave, oh, real fun.
I was running a soundboard today at church, and I was like, oh, no wonder nothing's coming through. All the volume knobs are at zero. And the guy next to me is like, wait, you mean zero or you mean negative infinity? I was like, oh, I guess zero is actually quite loud in decibels. All right. So, yeah, be prepared for confusion. Chapter 39. I don't think there's any magma jetting past the atmosphere. Maybe lava is. Oh, man. All right. Did we talk about the fact that this book is based on an episode of Bluey?
Which, fun fact, that was the first episode I ever watched.
That episode's so good. So the next bullet point is Shadowlands. Armor! Really big shield. Viewless again. True glove. It probably will work, though. It was Sigzel all along!
I figured it out.
Compassion pronounces his name like Craig.
Zellian?
No, Sigzel. Sigzel. She just pronounces
it. Sounds like Nomad. Nomad.
No, he tells her his real name. He's like, my real name from my homeworld is Sigzel. And she's like, oh, Sigil.
Wait, does she? Hold on. Did I miss that?
It's spelled 39. It's spelled S-I-G-Z-E-L.
Like Sigzel or something. I noted that, instead of Sigzel, it's like Sigzel. But in my head canon, she says Sigzel.
See, and Craig didn't even that way, notice yeah. because that's how he pronounces it anyway.
Right. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right.
In the republication of all the Cosmere books, when you don't have Deus Ex Machina killing Zane in Well of Ascension, then and you also eventually get to this one, Brandon, just rewrite that. Just have her say Sigzel with a J. Just put a J in there. Oh, no, then it would be Sigzel. Cecil.
Cecil.
It's pronounced Cecil. Literally every work of fiction that's had a character named Cecil has pronounced the name Cecil.
See, I think it was Reboot that told me it's Cecil. I would always do Cecil until then.
Tori.
Cecil from Welcome to Night Vale is definitely Cecil because that is an audio format.
About the three times.
Cecil Nix, who just wrestled today at Mystery Wrestling 11.
Not fictional.
He's a pro wrestler. It's not his real name.
All right, here are a list of Cecils. Cecil Harvey from FF4, obviously. Uh-huh. Cecil, the waiter robot from Reboot. And Bob would always pronounce his name Cecil, and Cecil would always get mad at him for pronouncing his name wrong. And then Cecil Terwilliger from The Simpsons, Sideshow Bob's brother, voiced by David Hyde Pierce. Also, the Route 18 SEPTA bus, when you get on the bus that has the voice activating that tells you like where the final stop is, Route 18 service to Cecil B. Moore. I've heard Cecil Moore and more than I have Cecil.
I haven't heard any
of those. And then Chief Wiggum pronounces his name. You've never been on the Route 18 in Philly?
No, but someday I'll visit and you can take me.
I guess. No, I don't know why we would get on a bus, but okay.
Because it's part of the experience.
Yeah, I mean, outside of school buses, I have been on a public bus once in my life.
Wow. I've been on buses in like four different cities, which actually is probably also a small number.
Yep. I rode on one on a trip to New York. That's it.
Okay. I meant transit buses, not like tour buses.
That's what I'm talking about.
Vacation. Yeah. Sweet. So that, okay. Hoid is from Yolin all along. Wait, does Nomad actually speak their language now? Oh, wait, they already transferred they heat and Nomad didn't notice, haha. Welp, Nomad is just a returned now, taking investiture from all of his subjects. Less than 1% skip. And there you have it.
You know,
need I go on?
It's basically a breath per person.
Okay, so regarding your first bullet point, so there's magma. Yeah. Which is under the surface molten rock. There's lava, which is on the surface molten rock. Is there a name for outside of the atmosphere molten rock?
Solar flare.
How? All right, why is the rock molten, though? When it gets to the atmosphere, you'd think it would... Or when it gets that high up, doesn't it cool off?
Wouldn't it freeze in space? Like,
we talked about that. There's nothing to transfer heat away. There's no.
Then how did Nomad get so cold?
Or axums? Is that what they're called?
Okay. When you're in space, sure. When you're in space, but when you're near the top of the atmosphere and your engines are freezing over, don't tell me you're not transferring heat away.
Okay.
Where are these magic magmas coming from?
Well, in this specific instance, the atmosphere is only about a kilometer high, which is crazy low. The molten rock has so much heat energy that it is going to retain that outside of the atmosphere.
It might get through it pretty fast, too. I'll give you that.
I just want to say Magic Magma sounds like the name of, like, an 80s metal band.
Yeah, I would absolutely buy their album.
But how about this, though? If the mountain is tall enough to pierce the atmosphere, then you could have magma outside of the atmosphere.
Except the sun is... I'm not fully understanding how this works. Like, Nomad comes up with some sort of an explanation, but I don't know that I fully followed it.
I get it.
Okay.
The sun is invested, the planet is divested, so it kind of like draws the investiture from the sun into the planet quickly. It's kind of like heat transfer. The bigger the differential between the heats, the faster it gets transferred. So like imagine like lots of investiture here, negative investiture, which I'm calling divestiture, inside the planet. It might, the Skadrians might have even put it there.
I would like to call this Ube. anyway, the thing I was wondering about
maybe unvestiture would be a good one.
Unvestiture. About, I like that.
The thing I was wondering about was, where does the molten rock start being molten? Is it molten on the surface and then it goes down and then the heat goes down? Is it molten at the core and then the heat comes up? Because that's going to factor in how we call this stuff.
So you think it actually was a rock that erupted, then got melted as it left the undergroundness?
I suspect it was a rock on the surface. They got really hot, and then there was an explosion.
And also,
and sent it into space.
If we're looking just sort of top down, and there's molten rock on the surface, and there's molten rock all the way down to the core, at what point does lava become magma, and vice versa? Mm.
I'm pretty sure it has to breach the tip of the volcano before it becomes lava.
Lava is molten rock exposed to the air.
We are not talking about volcanoes. We are talking about this specific planet where the sun's energy melts the entire surface of the freaking planet.
I think we are talking about a volcano, though, because why else would it shoot up in the air like that?
Pressure. Gas pockets pressure being released.
Yeah, it's like the magma's down there with all of its buddies.
Let's just all call it lava, pressure. Because lava's fun.
That's like
to say.
Bro, you want to get high up in the air? Peer pressure.
Okay, I like Craig's idea also because Professor Lava Hot. Shadowlands, I have not seen this episode of Bluey, and I don't know what you're talking about.
Please explain.
So it's a game that they play at the park where they can only stand in shadows. So there's trees and stuff. It leaves a shadow. They are making a pathway through the park, and they're just jumping from shadow to shadow. Have you ever... kids have played this game. You just jump between shadows, and you try to avoid the light. That is Shadowlands. It's fun. It's actually it's a good episode.
In this particular chapter, Nomad is reflecting on the fact that we're like, yeah, we have a long shadow now because it's close to sunrise, but then as the sun gets higher up in the air, the shadow is going to get shorter and shorter. So we have to make it from this shadow to the next one while the shadows are still connected. And I think there's even, spoiler alert, I guess, there's even a part in the Bluey episode where they have to like sit there and wait for like the shadow to like turn or get longer to meet up with the next one. Or there's like a part where the shadow's getting shorter and shorter, and you're like, come on, hurry up. Someone must watch Bluey.
Someone must.
I'm sure there are many people who do. I hear it's a very popular show. Anyway, armor.
Just one armor, though.
Okay. So they're running away from the sun, and one of the ships is going too slow, and it's not going to make it. And Nomad notices some, like, sparkles in the air, and he's like, hey, what is that? And Ox is like, that can't be what you think it is. And Nomad thinks it might be some of his Knight Radiant armor that he was sure died, and Ox was sure died, but he's seeing something. I'm sure we won't get any resolution on this in this book. But then he runs and jumps and runs and jumps and runs and jumps to the ship that's falling behind and turns Ox into a big old shield using all of his remaining pews. And he protects the ship until it can get into the rest of the shade. And everybody's like, hooray! And he's like, what? I can't hear you now because I don't have any investiture and all of my senses are dull and I hate this. And at least he doesn't get depressed like Kaladin does. You guys remember that? Whenever Kaladin ran out of Stormlight, he was like, meh. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, remember, Nomad likes the weeping.
So everybody on the ship is like, hey, you saved us. We would like to share our warmth with you. And he's like, yeah, that will not work. And they're like, well, what if we said that you were one of us? And he's like, I don't know how that'll help, but sure. So they do, and he accepts it, and they give him warmth, which gives him some investiture back. Not very much, but a little. And then he talks about his past and how his real name was Sigzil, but he prefers to go by Nomad. And they're like, you shouldn't go by Nomad. and we can't pronounce Sigzil.
I can't believe it took you all that this long. Unbelievable.
Yeah, the clues were there, man.
And they're like, well, why don't we call you a different name? And that name is Zellion. Someone.
Starts with a Z.
Thank you. Okay, it's not written in the notes, and I don't have the book open in front of me. So
to be fair, I didn't remember it either, but somebody said it a moment ago.
Okay. And he's like, hey, that word is Yul. And they're like, we don't know what language this name is from. And they're like, and Sigzil's like, it's Yolin. Hoid's from there. I know that. You know, you guys know Hoid? I bet you guys know Hoid.
Now I know where he's from.
Yeah. And Nomad does continue to speak their language because it was a one-time flipping of a switch. And again, to reiterate for Craig, no one is turned on. This is sexless Mormon fantasy. No turning on.
In Brandon Sanderson books, good guys wait till marriage.
Or they wink, fade out.
Yep.
Oh, we haven't used that one in a while.
Heat continues to be transferred, and he is at less than 1% skip buse.
Pew!
You want to do more chapter?
Hold on. The chat is discussing my new video angle. Yeah, with my new computer setup. I've got three monitors, and I've got a webcam set up where a webcam is supposed to be set up instead of the makeshift thing that I was using before. And up behind me, right there, is the Bob Ross painting that my wife did that she doesn't like, but I really do. I think she did a great job.
Did you also get a haircut, job, or do you Mrs. just look Mike. Really good at that camera angle?
I have not gotten a haircut for like
just
a month.
Just the camera angle then.
Yeah, I'm just handsome is what it is. I also haven't showered in like 2 days. So
yeah, but we can't smell through the camera,
which is nice.
So.
Oh, but imagine if you could. Folks at home, imagine, if you will.
Hey, if you join our $10,000 Patreon tier, you can smell during our live recordings.
Listen, if you pledge $10,000 a month through Patreon, you can live in my house. Okay? You can sit next to me as I record.
I mean,
you can be on the
to
recording.
To be fair, yeah.
You can BO the recording.
Yeah. All right, next chapter.
Let's have Craig do this one.
Are you thinking 40. He's going to not be able to pronounce 40?
Is it just these two? Vibrant Mage, Terrible Sun, come visit Scenic Canticle. Who's Zellion? Oh, yeah.
Hold on. What were those first two words you said?
Vibrant. Oh, it's a little blurry. Vibrant Rings. Sorry.
Okay.
Okay, so I made it bigger. And so did Dave. A2Ox? I think Rebecca. Whatever. What are we calling her? I call her Rebecca. Has a crush on Zellion. That
Rabiki.
Rabiki, that's right. That tree gets it. Backstory time to orders. So was Sigzil.
and it's backstory time to orders.
Two. Oh, that kind of two.
Wait, let me fix that. Okay.
So was Sigzil never a windrunner? Yes, he's a windrunner. I honestly don't remember, but sounds vaguely familiar that he never bonded a sprint. He did bond a sprint. He says of two, he had two different orders. He says it. Scadrian.
Right, but he says he was a member of like two orders. Then he mentions his Skybreaker dude, and then he mentions holding a Dawn Shard.
Yeah.
Those are the two. He says,
no.
I am two things. Thing one is this, thing two is this.
No.
That's the way he structured his story. And
hold on,
he's an accountant, so he should understand how to arrange.
Give me one
bits
second.
Of information logically.
Because I actually highlighted this, so give me a second.
An order isn't capitalized, I don't think. All right, well, we'll get to Craig's
I was a knight
at the end of the
of a very exclusive order, two different orders, actually, at two different times.
Yeah.
It's very
the first
clear.
Time was...
He was a knight of two different orders.
So,
Windrunner.
Like, why does he just completely? Why does he just completely jilt his Windsprint in this story?
Because it's not important.
I mean,
to the story.
Honor Sprint.
It was important that he bonded to Sprint at some point, and of course, we're not told because if he says it, it's information to us. We don't have that yet, so that's why.
That's true, and that would be a spoiler for Winds and Truth.
So this is an in-universe refo. Skadrian research facility and a story. How many are in a planet nomad is Canticle.
Rosharian.
It's Canticle. You just had it up above.
Rosharian.
Oh, where he's from. I'm sorry. Not where they currently are.
How many are in a Rosharian dozen?
It's battle
time.
That's
what the bullet point says. You did it.
40 a half.
That's a spoiler. All right. That's a bullet note spoiler. Okay, so Vibrant Rings, Terrible Sun. You get some good stuff, you get some bad stuff. And then I remembered that Zellion was Nomad's name, that what the Canticles gave him. At two Aux. So Aux hears Rebecca sneaking up and doesn't warn Zellion that she's coming. And he's like, "You've betrayed me, Brutus." And then...
I don't think it's quite that bad, but okay.
Rebecca has a crush on Zellion. Okay. I think that was like kind of obvious before this chapter anyway. What tree?
There's a tree that...
Oh, okay, yeah, I remember. So he's like, he does this thing where like he touches a tree and the vines wrap around him and he tries to pull away gently. But even though he's trying to pull away gently, he breaks the vines or something. So it's like, if I try to withdraw, if I get too close and I make the mistake of being too close and I try to withdraw, I will break you. Because, you know, Rebecca wants to transfer heat. And Zellion thinks that it's not wise. And then backstory time, two orders. Yeah, I guess I'll have to go back and read the other Stormlight books and see if he... Wait, so wasn't there like a... There was a whole thing where Relaine hadn't bonded a Spren, and then there was one other member of Bridge Four that hadn't bonded a Spren and was like all jelly about it.
It's... Wasn't it the one that couldn't talk for a while? Forget his name.
Renarin?
No.
Oh, Renarin didn't bond an Honor Spren, actually. But
Renarin bonded Gliss. Yeah, what's his face that was helping Kaladin die hard in Rhythm Gavit. War? There we go.
Gavit, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Wealth. Or possibly thank you, Tori. I don't know if Tori read it off
it
the chat
Wealth.
Or if Tori came up with
to
it.
Wealth.
Okay. Okay. Because I heard you say it and then
it
I looked
just,
over to the chat and I
saw it. It just popped up on
okay.
the screen and I read it.
So it was Relaine and Thabit. Okay. So Sigzil, I guess, probably did bond an Honor Spren then. Okay. Skadrian Research Facility and a story. So, Zellion is like, I keep telling you that this research or this secret base under the planet isn't going to be your salvation. And Rebecca's like, you know, we have this story about a guy who wanted to know his future, and it turned out at the end of the book, he died, so he gave up all hope. I don't want to be spoiled. I want to keep hope, and I am also going to speak for every other person in my city. So don't tell them the truth about the fact that they're doomed.
Or maybe, hear me out, journey before destination.
No, sounds fake.
How many are in a resort? So this is like the first time that Nomad says dozens instead of tens of. Is it because he has this connection with this planet now? Or is it actually that a dozen on Roshar consists of 10 items?
Or has Sigzil learned how to count to 12? Finally.
I mean, you know, he's past Elend, I think, if he gets to 12. Elend only put 2 plus 2 plus 2 plus 2 together.
I thought Elend could count all the way to 16.
No, Elend knew about 10. So 2 plus 2 plus 2 plus 2 plus 2.
So a Rosharian dozen. Exactly.
Man, remember Kelsier?
Nope. He died in first book. Spoilers.
Who's that?
Never came up again. Wasn't important, really.
And there you go. That's the end of this chapter.
I remember him having dark hair, I think.
Right, because we wanted Benedict Cumberbatch. No! Yeah.
You
he
did
had
it.
Blonde hair.
You did it. You said
and
it.
And Doc's had dark hair.
You summoned them.
No. Doc's had half a beard.
Not half a beard. A half beard.
And I think he was
half
a
beard, yes.
Or something. I don't know.
It means 5 o'clock shadow.
No, I guess it means it means soup can Sam and Satchel Gizmo.
Oh, no. And I forget if this is the part where Zellion actually wait, No, they already did that. We already did the part. No, did we? Did we do the part where he gives the spear to? No, that's next chapter. Anyways, and so they're like here. So he was able to spook off the charred with his. Wait a minute, shard. Oh, it makes so much sense now. So he was able to scare off the charred before, and he's like, "Well, we're actually gonna have to fight them this time." And I don't know if he unmanacles Elegy here or in the next chapter, but here we have it. And yeah, okay, so that's chapter 40. And since we have to do these chapters in pentads, we have to stay on chapter 40. So the next chapter will also be 40. So this is 40 and a half. Zellion sunk up on them. Zellion thinks there might be another secret. Spears too. Okay. Yeah. Who wants to explain?
What was that last bullet point after the other bullet? I'm going to go get more mac and cheese.
That's for the end of the episode. Yeah, that's for the...
Wait, did you actually not do 41?
I did. Not. Because I did...
40 and a half. It's
chapter
right here.
40 and chapter 40 and a half.
But is 40 and a half... Because I don't... These are vague enough that I don't know if you read 41.
Craig, he just changed the name of the chapter.
Okay, thank you, Tori. Tori knows. I just read
but
this,
I'm,
though.
I'm still gonna punk you a little longer. It's chapter 40 and a half, though. Because we can't go to chapter 41. That's for next week.
Mike, save me.
So Zellion's like, listen. The Cider King thinks he's outsmarted us, but I've actually outsmarted him outsmarting us to outsmart him again.
Yeah. He's so like, I know that it's not here, so I'm going to drive past them to trick them into thinking I know where it is so that they'll run ahead of us and show us where it actually is.
Yeah. They also come flying out of, I guess, something that kept them from being seen immediately across a wide expanse of nothing that exists on this planet somehow. And
there's a lot of mountains.
Shot four whole guns at the entire fleet. And apparently did a lot of damage with four guns.
I mean, this is basically what Gideon did, right?
They've got like eight ships versus a fleet. And they have four guns on those eight ships versus a fleet.
Yeah, but people don't just randomly shoot at you all the time. They're not used to pirates. They don't have a pirating phase. They don't know.
They are four guns because they're not on turrets, so you can't rotate them. So they literally are four guns. They can only shoot forward.
Yes. Craig, to counter your counterment, the Cider King is the pirate. He is the one who brings the violence.
Yeah, so people don't shoot at them. They shoot at people. They don't know how to handle this.
They are the ones who are the most used to violence, Craig. Anyway, because Sigzel is our hero and can't be wrong, he's right, and everything works out, and the Cider King sends some fast-flying ships directly to exactly where Sigzel's like, this is where they're gonna go.
Only Wax is allowed to be a hero and wrong.
He's so wrong. So often.
Unlike Guster. Burton Guster.
And then he hands Elegy the spear thing with the
right, so he gives Elegy the shard spear.
Yeah.
And he just grabs a pole or something. I think he actually has like a spear. Maybe the ghost made it for him.
Anyway, he hands her that, and he's like, listen, this can cut through anything, which will help a lot with your not knowing how to fight-ness. Try not to hit me or stab through the ship. Good luck!
And that's the end of this week's chapters.
Yep. Yes, Anth, that is exactly how you spell what I said. So, what do we talk about now?
Stop recording.
Whoa,
file, save
No, Dave, you have to say bye. It's only polite.
Don't you have stuff, Greg?
No.
Or did we talk about it already?
I mentioned the one bullet point I wanted to talk about, which was Sigzel's history. He mentions two orders, but unfortunately he skips over what happened with the honor sprint, so we don't know. We don't know.
Maybe we'll find out.
Okay, so
in
he
book
was
five.
He was a
or six
a wind
or
runner.
Seven.
Windrunner probably first. Wait. Well, he said two different times, and he's obviously a Skybreaker more recently. So he was a Windrunner first, then stopped being a Windrunner and became a Skybreaker. Wait, maybe his Spren died. Like, remember how Fendrana got zapped? Maybe, like, his His friend will also die to some, like, void dagger.
Ooh, good theory.
Oh, that makes me sad.
Devastating.
He doesn't really seem to
theory,
have, like,
but...
I've horribly screwed up and killed my honors friend, like, by breaking my oath. Like, it doesn't seem... So maybe he actually...
So,
or maybe the Spren's actually, like, we actually learned that Spren can break oaths. That would be nuts.
My theory is that by this point in the Cosmere timeline, Odium and Honor have combined.
With Whimsy. To make very silly war.
We have the Ministry of Silly Wars.
Yo, we need to come up
from
with
1984, yeah.
What Whimsy would be with every other chart. Like, what would its name be? We gotta do that.
Oh, dude, I should just make a chart that's like 16 by 16 grid of every shard combined with one other shard.
Go for it, Dave.
Harmony is one. War is Odium and Honor. At least they had War Light, so.
Odium and Honor, yeah, that's War.
Odium
and there was another
Whimsy.
One. Was it Honor?
Cultivation and Endowment combined to make Growth.
Oh, I really want to know this, you guys.
Odium and Whimsy is a Friar's Club roast.
Odium and Whimsy is Looney Tunes universe. Like an anvil.
Okay, yeah.
You're really
sky.
Passionate about it, but...
No, it's that scene in Emperor's New Groove where Yzma is a kitten and is doing the evil laugh.
Anyway. Yeah, no, I feel like that's just where it's going. That Sigsel's like, he cares about honor. Honor's definitely still a thing, but I don't know. I had more, but that just feels like where it is. I'm sad. I don't think Dalinar's going to win. The moment that Taravangian essentially killed Odium, that was the turning point. That was, yeah, Dalinar's got this in the bag too. Welp, good game.
I don't think Dalinar literally can win in order for the story to continue as it is.
Yeah, yeah. Now, they could potentially have some sort of truce. I feel like the game is going to change. Like, Race had a different, so they still have the champion fight. So that's still happening as far as we know. But I think the game's going to change. The problem is, Taravangian, to me, scares me a lot. Like, his philosophy, the stuff that he's been saying... and talking to Dalinar about in the books. Like, he is now capable of all of that. Like, this is it. Like, he has the power. It's scary, in my opinion.
So, I guess since we're talking about Wind and Truth projections, so the 10 days is going to be at least the start of the book, right? Like, I think that's going to get... The end of that is going to be, like, the end of part 3, is my guess.
Okay.
And then parts 4 and 5 are... Part 4 is dealing with the immediate fallout, and then part 5 is just setting up the second half.
I don't know. I feel like we're going to get a satisfying conclusion to the 5. I don't think it's going to be a cliffhanger.
I don't think it could be anything other than a cliffhanger, Craig. It's halfway through.
It's halfway through, but it's also a full complete arc. So we're basically getting like a season 1. Of a TV series. Like season 1, done.
So you're thinking it's going to be more Return of the Jedi, and I'm pitching it's more Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, agree.
I see a tail in Tori's camera.
Yeah, there's two whole dogs in here.
Yep, and one of them had a tail just high enough that I could see it in the camera.
See if I can summon the dog.
Anyway, I do not have any bullet points for today.
Okay, I'm also done. I'm excited to finish this book. We have two more episodes on it. And then an overview.
Already?
But yeah. Hopefully in the next 2 weeks, I will be able to stop reading 50 pages at a freaking time.
And good news, I'm definitely available in the next 2 weeks.
Yay.
Okay. Goodbye, I guess
Internet.
That's a recording.
Bye, everybody.
Good night, Internet.
Okay, bye.
I meant good night, Internet.
Okay, so this has been the Cosmere Deep Dive Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at @CosmereCast or like us on Facebook. Thanks for listening.